You don't.
So let the heathen rage. Let the kings of the earth turn. To the way.
Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quick on Blog Talk Radio.
I will praise the Lord most high, 'cause you are God of my life.
Sing it out.
So I will praise you, Lord.
Praise your name.
I will praise you, Lord. I will praise the Lord most high. You are God of my life. You are God of my life.
Amen. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and we just thank you that we can worship you, Lord, and give you glory and praise. Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to be with us in this place, Lord. Lord, your word says that you're seeking for people to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, we ask you to help us do that this morning. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We exalt you on high. Let's do an old familiar one here. One more. Sing.
Jesus,
gotta get it in my hand.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, you are Jesus.
Sing it again.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, you are Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. And Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus.
exalted one.
Risen and exalted one, you are Jesus.
Sing that one more time.
Jesus,
risen.
Risen and exalted one, you are Jesus.
All right, amen. Hallelujah. His name is above every name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. What was that? Remember, I taught you that. En français. Bon, j'ai les bons, tous les temps. Tous les temps, bon, j'ai les bons. God is good all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me get my glasses here. Y'all ready to get in the Word this morning? I guess I'll keep the Britney Spears mic. If I hear any Britney Spears jokes, remember, but I took martial arts and I am a good shot as well. All right. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I want you to turn back to Zechariah chapter 11. Last week we talked about, the Lord gave me the message, the flock of slaughter. And as I prayed about it, and sought him about it, he just kept telling me we weren't finished with that. So we're going to dig into that this morning. We're going to welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you to Fire and Grace Church. Good to have you with us. Hallelujah. Let's read this. Zechariah 11, verse 3. He says here, there is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled, a voice of the roaring of the young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. And then the Lord says, because of this, he says, for I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. And they shall smite the land, and out of their hand will I not deliver. But the Lord says, the good news here, he says, but I will feed the flock, he said, of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. Now, I want to kind of review what we talked about last week, because what I addressed last week was how that this isn't, I believe, an end times passage. I believe once you get into Zechariah 9, 10, 11, 12 through 14 there, you're getting into end times passages. Though even within end time Bible prophecy, there will be, especially in the Old Testament, there'll be little parts put in there about things that would happen at different times, even at their time period. That's the way God did it. He mixed things in with the current time period, and then sometimes he would have the time period talk about Jesus coming, and then he would talk about the last days. And so I shared with you last week how this talks about shepherds who, I guess, they believe themselves to be possessors of the flock. And he says there that, you know, God has to instruct Zechariah the prophet to feed the flock of slaughter because their possessors don't feed them. In fact, it says their possessors and those who control them slay them or sacrifice them or use them and hold themselves not guilty. And they even say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not.
And I shared with you how right now we're in that time period where God said, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, the last days, he said, many will come in my name and deceive many. Many false prophets will rise and deceive many. But see, we overlook that. I mean, I'm telling you, the most of the church world right now overlooks the fact that Jesus' first warning about the last days was that many will come in my name and deceive many. I mean, they will claim to be Christians. They will claim to be pastors, prophets, shepherds, apostles, evangelists, teachers. They'll claim to be Christian. They'll say they love Jesus. They'll prophesy in the name of Jesus. They'll lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. Some of them will. They believe that. But as the people of God, we're supposed to be discerning, because we're supposed to know that there are some, you know, the warning of Jesus, that there'll be wolves come in sheep's clothing. So we're supposed to be warned, right? But literally, I believe that the majority of the church world concept of a false prophet or a false teacher or a bad shepherd, their concept is, you know, somebody like Reverend Moon, you know, of the Moonies, or some cult like Joseph Smith and the Mormons. And yes, they are false prophets and they're false teachers, but they're obvious. They're obvious because they clearly don't believe and don't adhere to the doctrines of the Bible, like Jesus being God in the flesh and Jesus being the only way to heaven and there being a heaven and a hell. I mean, those are easy to spot. But it's the ones that would say they agree with us on those things. Those are the ones that are the most difficult to spot. But yet we find out that Jesus said that they'll even be feeding the flock or not feeding the flock what they need, right? And God calls them the flock of slaughter, because their own don't, even their own shepherds don't pity them. And I said this last week. I said a shepherd, a pastor, leader of a church is either feeding the flock the truth that they need to hear, the truths of the Bible that they need to hear, all of them, or they're feeding upon them. They're giving them just enough to keep them satisfied while they use them for tithes and offerings and you know, help in the church or whatever. Because there's a big focus now on growing big churches. That seems like that's the goal above everything else. And we talked about that last week, about the seeker-sensitive movement that started with Robert Schuller, who was a complete universalist and false teacher and into the New Age. But there are, do you know that there are Christian pastors right now that say Robert Schuller was a great man of God, like Pat Robertson says that? Do you know that? Pat Robertson says it. Billy Graham says it. Who else? Who was the other one? Oh, Rick Warren. And you know what? You didn't have to struggle or look too hard to find out that Robert Schuller believed that people could go to heaven whether they knew Jesus or not. You didn't have to look too hard to see that Robert Schuller was into New Age philosophies and ideas and techniques. He even said to tell someone that they needed to feel guilt for their sin and repent was the worst thing you could do to a person. That's Robert Schuller. But yet he gets the endorsement of Billy Graham. Billy Graham appeared on his TV show, and the two of them actually agreed together that people who were never saved, never born again, never accepted Jesus would go to heaven. Yes, Billy Graham. Joel Osteen's only following in the steps of Billy Graham and Robert Schuller. Rick Warren's wife in Christianity Today admitted that Rick Warren was extremely influenced by Robert Schuller. Pat Robertson, when Robert Schuller died just a few years ago, Pat Robertson was public in saying he was a great man of God. No, he was a wolf. He was a deceiver. He was a liar. He was a false teacher. He was a false prophet. And he wasn't even hard to figure out. So what does it tell you? What should this tell you about the state of the American church, particularly? And like I said last week, the Western church in Europe, even in Australia and other places,
We're in terrible shape, right? Terrible. See, a pastor can get up and he can preach things, but if he doesn't preach what the Bible says and what a church needs to hear and what the people need to hear, he can be talking about Jesus, but he's not feeding you. And this is the danger. And this is what we live in right now. Then we have the problem not only of shepherds who want to use the flock, you know, build a big church, build a big ministry, build a big income. Not only do we have that problem, but of course, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I may turn there in a minute, but you can turn there if you want to. But 2 Timothy 4, he says that the time would come in the end times, the time would come when people would not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and would turn away from the truth and be turned into fables. So he said there real clearly, not only will you have an abundance of people, as Jesus said, who come in my name and deceive many, you're going to have the people who don't want to hear the truth and sound doctrine from the Bible that wanted to run after every preacher as long as he's famous and got a big church and a big building or a big TV ministry, and they want to hear what they want to hear, whether it's prosperity or positive thinking or how to deal with stress at work. But nobody wants to hear the things that they really need. There's few. I'm really blown away. I guess I would say I'm really blown away by the cult, I would say, within the church world of man worship. Because you know what? I named some names just a minute ago. And even though I can give you either them on video saying exactly what I told you they said, or their book, page number, reference of where they taught it in a book, or an article they wrote for a Christian magazine, whether it's Christianity Today or Charisma, I can give people what their own favorite preachers and teachers preach, and it's obviously clearly unbiblical, unscriptural, and false, and yet they will get mad at me for naming the name. I mean, I didn't say sit there and visualize Jesus and chant words. I didn't say that, you to do that. I didn't teach you Hinduism, Buddhism type prayer. Mike Bickle does, if I hop. Oh. Teaches it on his website, teaches it in his conferences, teaches it in his books. But if I dare say, he teaches New Age, Hindu, Buddhist type prayer and occult technique, I'm the bad guy. Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's read that. Turn to Jeremiah 5. There's a scripture there I want to read. This is where we are. Do it here, Jeremiah 5. Drop down to verse 31. Oh, all of this is just so good. But we're just going to read verse 30 and 31. The Lord speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to his own people. And this is what he said. He said, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it. What will you do in the end there? I'm amazed. I can show where Rick Joyner and Bob Jones, the late Bob Jones, these prophets, I can show you where they gave false prophecy after false prophecy after false prophecy that never came to pass. And if you dare call them false prophets, well, you're the bad guy. Not to mention, Rick Joyner says in his book, Final Quest, that his level of revelation between him and the Lord was higher than what Paul had when he wrote the New Testament. I can give you the book,
page number. And yet, I literally have people unfriend me, defriend me, whatever you want to say, curse me, hate my guts. And, you know, even there are people that don't want to have anything to do with me and Nancy because we've spoken about Rick Joyner. The truth. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with him. Not to mention his Knights of Malta loyalty to the Pope and the Vatican and the UN. But Dare don't say it because he talks about Jesus. He talks about Jesus, so he can't be false. He's got a big church, he's got a big ministry, so he can't be false, right? The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means, meaning their own ways. They use on you psychological warfare. But he says the terrible thing is, he said, my people love to have it so. Let me give you a few other verses. And we're talking about this. Go to Isaiah 56. I want to get to the motivation of what blinds these preachers. What begins? Some of them start out right. Now, some of them are devils from the beginning, and they're deceivers on purpose, and they're infiltrators. But some of them start out right, but they get off, they get blinded, they get deceived, and then they start deceiving people. But what gets in there? What gets in their heart that begins to blind them? I'm going to show you the Bible tells us exactly what gets in their heart and begins to blind them. And I'm going to tell you exactly how to look and know the difference between a pastor or shepherd who's feeding you and one who's not. It's real simple. Where did I tell you to turn? Isaiah 56. Oh, this is, somebody say, the Word of God. It's good stuff. Isaiah 56. Let's go down to verse 10. This is what he said. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. What he's saying here, let's say, watchmen. See, the primary goal of a shepherd, a true prophet, a true pastor, the primary job is to be a watchman on the wall. That means to be on that place with God, to hear what God is saying, to make sure that you're warning the people. If they're in sin or a particular sin, you're to warn them. If there's something coming on the horizon, judgment or wickedness or evil or darkness, the true watchman, the true shepherd is supposed to be there to warn you. He's to see it before it comes and to guard your life. If he sees a wolf coming, a deceiver, a false teacher, a false prophet, a true shepherd is to stay there and fight for you and stand in the way of that, not to just let them come in and preach and teach. That's why we don't have a lot of guest preachers. I found out it doesn't usually work out too good. I got to know them real good, especially after one end. But he says this here. He says his watchmen are blind. You don't want a blind watchman. That's kind of like having a blind chauffeur. Who wants a blind taxi cab driver? But Jesus gave a warning. He said that what? There will be the blind leading the blind. And if he said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Well, what is the ditch? The ditch is hell. He said his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. Now, ignorance is different than being stupid. Or having some learning disability. As Forrest Gump would say, he wasn't a smart man. But he knew some things, right? Ignorance means you choose not to know what you should know. Some people, and that's the term used in the book of, what is it, 2 Peter? Yes. Chapter 3, when he says they're willingly ignorant. It's all in your Bible. See, people won't read the Bible. I'm glad you do. But most won't read their Bible for themselves. If you won't read the Bible for yourself, and I mean thoroughly, diligently, how are you going to know if someone's really preaching it in its context and correctly or not? You won't know. But he said his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. Talk language. People get mad at me. You know, the other night we were flipping through the channels. It was right at 9 o'clock, and this hadn't happened in a long time. But my wife had the remote. And she stopped on TBN, Trinity Broadcast. I said, really? You're going to do this to me? I said, all right, then. I said, yeah, and I said, all right, then, let's do it. And guess he was hosting the program that night. Joel Victoria Osteen. You know, now we have a 55-inch. Somebody gave us a 55-inch HD TV. We would never buy one of those on our own. Somebody gave it to us. Right? It's different seeing it, those two faces up close and personal in 55-inch HD. Right? But I said, I may sound mean, but remember the scripture said, they're blind, ignorant, and dumb dogs. I'm just going to follow scripture, okay? A person's countenance, their face, their eyes, it always tells a story. And if you have any discernment at all, or you're a good poker player, and if you're both, which I am, I have discernment and I was a good poker player. If you have those things, you can watch someone's face, and especially if it's in 55-inch HD up close and personal. And I was sitting there, and I just said, I watched them talk, do the introduction, and introduce the people who are going to be on the program and all that, and I listened to them, and I watched Joel, and I said, he really is just ignorant. He's a doofus. He's a hand puppet for his wife. Her face is easy. I said, he's Martin Short without really being funny. And I thought to myself, he really is this right here. He really just is ignorant. His daddy wasn't like him. Maybe he got that way in his later years. I don't know. But in his early years, his daddy was not like him at all. But the watchman, the ones who are supposed to be watching out. Yeah, they call Rick Warren America's pastor. Is he watching out for us? No. But he says they cannot bark. What are dogs supposed to do? If you have a good dog, stranger comes up, you want that dog to bark. Right? He says, but these, they're blind, ignorant, dumb dogs that cannot bark. They sleep. They sleep, and they love to sleep. But then he tells you their motivation. What has blinded them? He said they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. You know why they cannot understand? The greed in them, the desire to be somebody, the desire to have church, a big ministry, a big income, and that desire has overcome their willingness to be true watchmen. You see, a true watchman will tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. A true watchman, a true pastor who's going to preach the truth and speak what the Spirit of God is saying will speak to you even if he knows everybody will probably leave his church. A true watchman, a true prophet, a true pastor, a true shepherd will not care if they have to be poor and broke and have nothing. They will stand for the truth, preach the truth. They will offend you and upset you, and they will make you miserable if you want to live in lukewarmness and compromise and sin and whatever else. find a pastor or a shepherd or a prophet that truly makes you uncomfortable in your sin, in lukewarmness, in complacency, if your prayer, if you don't have a prayer life, or if you're drifting, if that pastor doesn't make you miserable until you repent and get right with God and obey the word of God, then you've got one of these guys. Because they don't want to offend you. Because if they know if they say certain things, you leave, your tithes and offerings leave, and they can no longer look big and important anymore. We all need to get free from this. Listen to me. True Christians, true born-again Christians need to get free, and especially pastors and leaders better get free from the need to have everybody like them. For the need to have approval of men and women. For the need to have praises. Look, you know what? I love it when somebody says, hey, that was a great sermon, or that was a great message, or that blessed me. But I've learned over the years, do not let that go to your head. Because I've had people say that one minute, and the next minute, I'm a false teacher, I'm a false prophet, and I hadn't changed a thing. We know about that, right? Seen that. The mob is fickle. That's why Jesus, it says about Jesus and John, it said he wouldn't commit himself because he knew what was in man. He knew one minute, oh, Hosanna, son of David, save us. The next minute, crucify him. Same crowd. Right? Jesus was like this, though. Jesus was the true shepherd. But notice what it says. We're going to go to Jesus here next. But look at what it says. He said, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. Why can they not understand? Why are they blind, and why can they not understand? Because they all look to their own way. And everyone looks gain from his quarter, his little territory. Pastors are some of the most territorial people I've ever seen in my life. In fact, right now, I'm getting a little irritated with a particular one who doesn't have a problem inviting my church members to things, but won't invite me when I've invited them to our thing. I don't. Maybe that shouldn't bother me, but I tend to think it's this right here. They're looking to their own way. They're looking to their gain from their quarter. I look at it this way. I've always looked at it this way. Feeding you the word of God and the truth, and that's what you want, you'll stay. If you don't want that, or you feel like I'm not feeding you the truth, go somewhere else. Stay. I hope it works out for you. All right? Say we're the only church in town that preaches the truth or stands for the truth. And I pray for some of these other pastors, but I sure can't get one to fellowship with me. Not one. I've tried. I've reached out, invited them to men's meetings, tried to go and support their churches and go to their meetings. And you know what? For some of them, I know it's doctrinal differences. They're pre-trib, we're not. We believe a Christian can have a demon, and they don't. They believe once saved, always saved, no matter how you live, and we don't believe that. Or we speak in tongues in a Pentecostal, and they're not. So it could be, some of it could be doctrinal differences, right? But a lot of it is this right here. They're afraid they're going to lose someone. And they don't want to lose anybody. Oh, don't shout me down now because I'm preaching. And let me tell you something. It takes me about 5 minutes around another pastor to know what his motivation is. If he loves his people, if he's not territorial, if he's secure in who he is in God, or if he's a manipulator, or if he's insecure and he's got to have he's got to have a certain number of people, or he's got to have money, or he's got to have this. I have watched this for years. She will work it, man. She will work it behind the scenes more than he does, the manipulation, because she's more fearful. See, to her, the numbers and the finances and all that is security. So let a pastor's wife be insecure. That's why, hey, I love the fact we told y'all we came here. We came here with nothing. We didn't come here to get rich. We didn't come here to build a mega church. We said that from the beginning. Don't care how big the church ever gets or doesn't get. That's not the point. We are here to stand for certain truths that other pastors are afraid to touch. Pastor Dean, we hate you. We're never coming back. I say, well, you know, that hurts me a little bit, but, well, we'd stay if you wouldn't talk like you do. Well, goodbye. Right? Let's go to what Jesus said. I'm going to show you something the Lord showed me a number of years back. Y'all staying with me? Y'all so quiet this morning. Though I must say, you did sing good. I could hear you. Especially there toward the end. Matthew 23. So I know we got pastors out there that listen to our messages just for opposition research. Let's see what he's saying this week so we can counter it in our church. Because if our people figure out that they're not getting fed, they might want to go over there. So let's make sure we give them a little bit. Give them a little dose. I'm not joking you. And do you know that Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 23, we're going to turn to that in a second, but in Jeremiah 23, he makes this statement. He says that the false prophets steal words from other prophets. Oh, scary, isn't it? But he says the true prophets are like a hammer, breaking the rock in pieces. Amen? This is what the Lord showed me a number of years ago. I was reading this, or I've read it many times, but the Lord showed me. He said, you want to find out what makes a religious leader, a spiritual leader, and I'm talking about a true religious leader, a true follower of Jehovah God, follower of God Almighty, right? You want to know what makes them, what puts them down the path of becoming blind and not feeding the flock and fearing men and wanting to gather people and all that stuff and not preach the truth. We read it from here, but this is Matthew 23, verse 1. Let's start reading. Then spake Jesus to the multitude. Jesus is speaking to a multitude. He's not doing this in private. Everybody talks about when you want to rebuke a religious leader, you do it in private. No. If he's preaching something false in public, then he needs to be corrected in public, the public, all right? Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne, they lay them upon men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one finger. Basically, they say what they preach from the word of God, do it. But they don't do it. What Jesus is saying this in front of them. Think about this. Jesus is saying this in front of a multitude. His disciples and the Pharisees are all standing there, and he's saying, you know what? When they tell you what Moses said, when they tell you what the word of God says, do it. But know this, they don't do it. Well, can you imagine the anger rising up, right? But Jesus didn't stop there. He went on to say, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. Let me just stop right there. See, the Pharisees are the ones, he said, you make your garments fancy. You want to be called rabbi. You make long prayers in public so you'll be seen. So you do all these things, but what got in your heart to make you a blind guy
was your goal became to impress men. Your goal became to be seen of men.
I remember reading that, and I remember when it hit me. This was back in 2007. I was just studying and fasting and praying over the Word, and I read that, and the Lord said, whenever this gets in the heart of any Christian, but particularly a pastor or a fivefold minister, whenever this gets in them, the desire to be seen of men, to be seen as successful, to be seen as the big shot, to be seen as, you know, the fastest growing church in town or the fastest growing church. Whenever these goals that are not godly and biblical, when those things become the goal, they immediately, there's a spiritual blindness that begins to set in. That's why he says they cannot bark. They cannot warn you. They cannot understand, because the sin of man idolatry, wanting to be worshipped, wanting to be revered, wanting all those things, has blinded them. And you know what's so sad about this? And this is why we all have to check our hearts, but especially pastors. Because once it becomes, I want to be somebody, then Jesus becomes second and third and the sheep. And so in America, we've had an entire philosophy of ministry rise up that feeds that monster. You know, I love David Wilkerson, the late David Wilkerson. I have a book that he wrote from 1985 called Set Thy Trumpet to Thy Mouth. I remember reading it back in 87. But he's got a section in that book called The Church Growth Cult. He addressed it back then. It was growing then. That the goal was to build big church, to attract multitudes. The goal was not to preach the gospel uncompromised, to preach repentance, to preach sin and conviction of sin, to preach Jesus as the only way, to name sins and to name errors and to name false teachers. That, you know, nothing offensive. That had to be thrown out the door. Nothing too strong. And that spirit took over not only the American church, but in England and across the world of, you know, we got to be seeker sensitive. We got to be easy. We can't give it straight. We're not going to talk about end time prophecy. It's too controversial. It's too negative. We're not going to talk about sin. We're not going to talk about repentance. We're going to lure them in with the cotton candy. It's easy. Here, listen to me, folks. You lay down a plate. This is how you want. You want to know if you're spiritually mature or not? Lay down a plate of candy, cotton candy, cupcake, and brownies, and then another plate of steak and green peas and green beans and salad. Lay that plate in front of a child. Child. Always pig. The carnival. And you don't need it at all. You need healthy things. But see, this is where we are. Because you get a church that wants to give you meat and vegetables. 1,500 in town that want to give you cotton candy. You understand? That's where we are. That is the state of the American church. For the most part. There are a few exceptions here and there. Because there are hungry people out there. And sometimes they gather in enough hungry people and people who are spiritual, and you get a good pastor. And sometimes you can't have, it's not, I'm not saying it's a crime to have a big church. I'm not saying it's a crime to have to make a good living at being in the ministry. I'm not saying those things. But when those things become the goal, above feeding the truth, to Jeremiah chapter 23. Here's the news. We're going to get to the good news. And I promise you, we're about to quit here in just a second. Man, it's not even noon yet. Jeremiah 23, a few verses here. And I believe this is for our day and our time especially. Not that it wasn't going on in Jeremiah's day, but Jeremiah Jeremiah was a prophet about what was going on in his day, but also he spoke a lot about the latter times, the end days, our time. And here's what he said. Listen to this. Verse 1. He said, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." God said in his word, and in fact, we can go over to Daniel. Matter of fact, go over to Daniel chapter 11. Y'all okay? Daniel chapter 11. I believe this is end times because Daniel says that this will happen as well. That not only, see, we're having two things happen at one time. We're having many coming. Jesus said, many will come in my deceive many in the last days. There'll be many false prophets rise and deceive many in the last days. There'll be a great apostasy or falling away from truth in the last days. But he also said that he was going to raise up shepherds who would feed the flock in that time. There'll be the minority, but he said, "I will give you shepherds that will feed you in those days." And he references this in the last days in Daniel 11. Look down to this. This is verse 32. And he says, "As such as do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." So this is speaking of the Antichrist here. He said, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many." Everybody see that? So he's saying that, remember, we showed you a minute ago that the prophets from Isaiah 56 and the shepherds and the watchmen who were blind, because they were seeking their own gain and their own building their own kingdom, he says that they couldn't understand. But he said in the last days, there'll be some who understand and instruct many. So it's not all bad news. I'm not saying there won't be any shepherds. There won't be any true shepherds or true prophets or true ministers. There are some out there. I'm starting to find a few here and there that are really hearing from the Lord and preaching the word. But I get emails from people all the time, all over, from all over the world and all over the United States. "Oh, we're looking for a church. We can't find a church." So it's not easy. And breaking free, listen, sometimes we can get out of a dead church or a church that's not feeding the truth, but sometimes we can't get that out of us. We can't get that denominational traditions out of us. And sometimes we got to break free from some things. You understand what I'm talking about? Look over in Daniel 12. He said something very similar. He says in verse 3 that they that be wise in that time period shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. So we have the promise that there will be those who understand, and there will be those who turn many to righteousness in those days when deception is rampant. Now, this is very important. This is the last verse we're going to turn to. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And I know I said what I'm about to tell you, I said a few weeks ago, but I was reading this last night and the Lord just hit me with this. Because frankly, right now, and I'm not talking about so much here, but we really do have, there's an attitude almost. Maybe it's because the church world as a majority has taken the idea of its entertainment, the most important thing. having fun, the most important. Christian life. Cotton candy. Maybe that's the reason. There's an attitude almost, even among Christians, kind of with church, take it or leave it. You know, it's not a big deal if I miss church. It's not a big deal if I'm not in prayer. It's not a big deal if I worship. You know, I hit on this a couple of weeks ago, a little pretty hard. But I want to show you the context of a scripture that we hear the scripture, but we don't look at exactly what it's saying. That's right. Verse 25. But we're going to read before that. I hear good. Let's go. Verse 19. He says here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here's the thing, this, and I'm going to share a testimony. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. This word exhorting here means several things. It means to invite. It means to call near to Christ, to encourage, to provoke. But it says to do this to one another. Invite, encourage, provoke. What? To make sure you gather together with believers. To make sure. Basically, you find you a good church and you get in it and you be there and you take it seriously. Especially, folks, and I'm not saying this. You know what? I'm not ashamed to say I know I'm a good shepherd. I'm not a perfect one. But I know that I feed you the truth, even the ones you don't want to hear. Okay? I know that. I know at one point in my life I've made everyone mad or sad or upset at some point. Mike can tell you. I've been doing it to him for years. Right? So I'm not ashamed to say, somebody said, well, what you're saying, you're not ashamed. Yeah, I know I'm not a false teacher. I'm not a false prophet. I'm not a bad shepherd. I'm not here to get rich. Single one of you in heaven. Amen? I want to see every single one of you grow in the Word of God, in the knowledge of God. I want to see every one of you get close to Jesus. I want to see every one of you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to see every one of you win people to Jesus. I want to see your homes transformed into places of peace and places of God's presence. That's what I want more than anything else. And so I know that some of you, and some of those listening to me, I sometimes, even some of you, take our church for granted. Let me read testimony. Where's my phone? How many of you listened to the radio show last week? This one? I want to read this. I might have to give me a second to find it. I really didn't plan on doing this. But I want to read something to you about this testimony. And I have several that came in, but this one in particular. There we go. Pastor Odell, this is from Canada, a family in Canada. Husband and wife, two teenage sons. Thank you for your email and prayers. God has been doing amazing things. I asked him to help me make up for the lost time when I did not do the work that he had set apart for me to do. And boy, oh boy, as he began answering that prayer, it's coming so fast. She said, my days and nights are consumed with listening to your sermons, studying the Bible, praying, sharing God with scores of people that he keeps putting in my path. It is absolutely unbelievable. She said, I just finished your study on deliverance from demons with my husband. I was introduced to the deliverance ministry years ago, but she just goes into saying that she really, you know, it was a beginning, but she needed more, right? And she said, I've learned so much more from your teaching. Little did I know that it would come into practice so quickly and in such a powerful way. She said, Friday night, I was awakened with a hot, tingling feeling running through my entire body. I immediately prayed, Lord, what is this? If it is you, give it all to me. If it is not, please show me so I can cast it out. I awoke Saturday morning to the same sensation and immediately prayed the same. That afternoon, my husband and I sat down with our 15-year-old son to show him how we discovered that some of the Christian music that he had been listening to is not Christian and indeed references the occult. We also discovered that he had accessed some outright satanic music. Well, really almost any secular music is satanic in nature. They all sell their souls to the devil. He was beginning to identify for himself that this was indeed the case when his attitude changed 180 degrees and he became extremely angry. He told us that God did not have a purpose or a calling on his life, and in fact, that God did not care for him at all. Would you say he had an attitude? Right? It was at that point that I felt this sensation again much stronger. And what she was feeling was the power of the Holy Ghost coming on her and the power of the Holy Spirit coming on her beforehand to get her ready for this. She said, I could feel God pressing on me, and I felt him say, a deceiving spirit. A battle erupted in me, not wanting to completely freak out my son, but being completely led to cast the demon out of my son, I saw looking back at me with such hatred. Think about it. She's looking at her son. She's trying to tell him, son, some of the Christian music you listen to has really got references to the occult that's not godly at all. And listen, a lot of Christian music is funded by the Illuminati. I'm even believing Toby Mac is now. He says, a battle erupted. And she said, I didn't want to freak out my son. She said, but I saw him looking back at me with such hatred. I prayed, I submit to you, Lord, show me what you want me to do. My body shook as I battled and rebuked the deceiving spirit. It was at this point my son's pupils got huge, and I knew what I was seeing. My body stood with my finger in his face as I further cast out the demon that entered him through the satanic music. I can't describe the feeling. I have never felt the spirit come over me like that ever before. My whole body shook uncontrollably as I sobbed and prayed over my son, who was now also sobbing. Not a word was said for what I believe was about half an hour. He described feeling emptied and quiet. He knew that the spirits had left him and that this was a reality. Thank you, Jesus. I cannot describe how thankful I am for what he did. And she said, I honestly wondered if I would really be able to do such things. She said, I'm not usually a brave girl. Well, this is what I'm getting at. I think some of you take for granted the things that you've learned in this church that you did not learn in any other church you've ever been in. Just the deliverance issue alone, that a Christian can have a demon. A Christian can open the door to demons. This boy lived in a Christian home, got into some music, some so-called Christian music that was really had occult references, and then that led him to get into some completely secular music. And what I've tried to tell you guys over and over again is that something as simple as having the wrong thing in your home or opening the door to the wrong movie or the wrong TV show, the wrong website, or the wrong music, the secular satanic music, can open doors to demons into your life. Simple truth that some of you are even ignoring now, even though you know it. And you wonder why there's division in your home and strife in your home and why you hate your husband or your wife or you're a kid and you get to hate your mom or dad. And some of you out there, you need to rise up and cast the demons out of your house and out of your children. I don't care if they're teenagers. You need to get the crap, the satanic crap out of your house, the satanic music. And if you're listening to secular music regularly, I mean, if you're just, either you're not saved or you really don't care what offends God. And you don't care that you're opening your soul up to spirits, evil spirits. But I read this to show you. Here's a lady in Canada. She wishes she could come to church here. Her and her husband want to come to this church so bad they could taste it. Not many around here do. But even some of you take for granted. And all I want to say is this. I try my best to equip you with what you need so that you can survive and so that you can overcome the devil. Y'all wouldn't believe the email I got yesterday. I ought to read that email to you. Stop looking at it. Oh, well, that's Pastor Dean. You know, he's been saying that for years. How about doing it? How about acting on it? Here, let me tell you this. I found this out too. If you're in a church that feeds you the truth and you start deciding you're not going to do it, you will go to one who won't be so serious. I've seen that happen too. Well, I'm not, cut them off from the internet, or I'm not gonna clean my home out. I'm not getting rid of the idols, you know, the female angel goddesses. I'm not gonna get rid of this stuff. So I'm gonna go to a church that doesn't bug me about this. I've been told that. You know that? Over the years. When I was in Montgomery, I had a Rhema graduate couple. Both of them went to Rhema Bible Training Center. Should have known the Bible a little bit, right? And basically tell me that what I was preaching from the Word about holiness, about living for God, about getting sin out of your life and getting serious with God, getting your home clean. I literally had this man who was a Bible school graduate and older than me. Could have been my father that age at the time. I was in my 20s. Literally look me in the face and say, nobody wants to hear what you're saying. And you know what I told him? I don't care what the Word of God says. Because that's what they used to preach in the 40s and the 50s. I said, still in the Bible. Telling me was, we don't want to hear it. We want you to preach about prosperity. You need to lighten up, son. We know you're young and a little fiery. You need to lighten up because we don't want to hear it. I said, well, sorry, but you need it. But I said, I tell you what. Because he tried to go behind my back and teach people that I was teaching something different, teach the opposite behind my back, knowing what he did. So he was rebellious anyway. I never figured out. I'm like, if you want to be the pastor, go start your own church. Why do you want to come to mine? We're going to leave. Good thing. And you know what? They were the biggest tithers in the church. Guy would write a check, $3,000, not blink an eye. But I knew when I rebuked him and corrected him and confronted him, I knew he was going to walk out the door with his money, and I didn't. And we just leased a building in Montgomery at the time, $1,000 a month in 1995.
what? To exhort one another. We're to push, invite, call, provoke you to be in church, to be in the Word. So much the more as you see, and this is talking about the day of the Lord's wrath and the day of the Lord's return, you see that approaching. Dumb dog. He's ignorant. Can't even be a watchdog. But he gets up there in his suit. He talks about Jesus. But his church, they're completely ignorant. Isn't it amazing to know you can sit in a church and not get anything you need? There's a bunch of them. But you can also sit in a church where you're getting it and take it for granted. James 1:22. If you hear the word, you hear the word call you near to Christ or to get closer to Christ. I stay on you about coming to church. I stay on you about Bible study. I stay on you about things like that, prayer meeting. I stay on you not because I'm trying to get your money, not because I'm trying to build a big church. I stay on you because what's Bible? You know, you wanted to upset my aunt or my great-grandmother when she was cooking. Tell her you're coming. She would cook me fried chicken. It was gravy, clean corn, and homemade biscuits. All my favorite stuff. Let me call back and say, I'm sorry, can't make it. Hold the phone back. What I'm getting at is I try to prepare a good meal for you. You get what I'm saying? We're not McDonald's around here, I hope. Real meat. Real bread, real cheese. Joel's got the Happy Meal, though. I love y'all. Scripture says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. The more you know of him and about his word, the more effective you're going to be. Like this woman. Listen, this woman in Canada, if she hadn't learned the truth, that she could bind the demons in Jesus' name and command them to leave her son in Jesus' name, that she needed to confront that. If she didn't believe if she didn't know, if she'd never heard that, look at what would have happened. It wouldn't have happened in her home. Her son would have gotten deeper and darker into all this stuff. And I tell you, there would have been this division between her and her son that would have continued. Her son would have continued getting more rebellious and worse off. Now, that doesn't mean he can't now. I'm just saying, listen, if we will take the things that we are learning, we take the things, the truths of the Scripture, if we'll take these things and do them, we can change our home. We can change our lives. I've seen some of you pick up these truths and do some things, and you've seen it. You've seen God move, but then you set them down. And then the devil starts trying to get you mad at Pastor Dean. What you really should be doing is picking it back up. But you learn the truth, rebuking that devil and not let him do this stuff. All right. Good news for the flock of slaughter. We don't have to fix slaughter. Amen. You don't have to. God promised he would raise up shepherds, and God's looking for people that will rise up and become strong and do exploits. This little lady right here, because you know her email before she sent me that one? Her email was, please pray for my husband and my sons.
I don't really know where they are. And, I mean, it wasn't long. I started praying for her. I got up to the Lord, I guess, I don't know if it was the devil or what. Something woke me up this morning. I've been getting attacked spiritually on Saturday, late, you know, Saturday night, Sunday mornings, 2, 3 in the morning. I don't sleep much now on Saturday night. And I woke up at 2-something, 2:45, wide awake and just feeling all this demonic stuff swirling around. So I get up to pray. From then to about 5 o'clock in the morning, I finally lay back down at 5 for a little while. But you know, this lady, another lady, emailed me from up north. Just you know, in Wicca, coming out of Wicca, coming out of all kinds of perversion and witchcraft and sorcery. I need deliverance. And no pastor. She entitled her email to me, "Please don't ignore me." I told her she doesn't need deliverance ministry. And she said she got saved, but she was in Wicca. She said she's a full-blown witch. And she said, "I'm a full-blown witch." And she goes, "One minute I'm fighting this and I'm trying to serve Jesus and I've really got saved." She goes, "But then all of a sudden something will take over and I'll be blaspheming." She needs deliverance. She needs the demons cast out of her. Do you know what I was doing at 3 o'clock this morning? Praying for her. And I prayed for every one of you. This is what we all got to do. There are people in need. I mean, it really breaks me down because there's so many people that have so many needs. I want to help them. She's all the way up, you know, somewhere in Maryland, I think. I have people call me from Texas and Arizona. My son is completely demon-possessed. Had committing. No ministers will cast the demons out of. Nobody will help them. People who need you. People who need me. We need each other. And we need to help each other do these things. Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, there's so many people, so many tormented by demons, tormented by strongholds, their homes being torn apart, their marriages being torn apart, spiritual warfare they're facing, and they don't know how to deal with it. There's a bunch of shepherds out there that cannot bark, that cannot do anything for them, because they're only worried about building a church. God, help us to speak the hard things that people don't want to hear. Talk about things that aren't traditional or popular, but that people need. They need to know, no matter how they live. They need to know. They need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. They need to know. They need to get rid of every demonic stronghold from their past. They need to understand spiritual warfare and how to fight the devil, bind the devil, cast the demons out of themselves and others. True Christianity is preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons. That's Christianity. Preaching repentance of sin. Lord, help us be that you believe, the truth that you act upon. You know where if you have a tithe or an offering on your way out, you can drop it in the basket. But let's stand. Let's sing this before we leave. And then y'all know the drill. Hug somebody's neck before you leave.
Lord, I pray. pray?